welcome to another Morbid Moment.
Yay!
It's the Banter Podcast, where you won't learn enough to teach a college class, but you might learn enough to entertain your friends. My name is Katie Nyborg, but everyone on the internet knows me as Stick. Joining me is Red, the industriously uncredited.
That at least makes me sound productive.
And what is this? Oh, hang on.
Wait.
Whoa. Hang on.
What's going on?
I'm getting vibes.
Uh-oh.
Contacting me from another plane of existence.
Who could it be?
It's Toki the Sound Guy.
Is that where he is?
Yes. I hope he's calling collect, because...
That would charge you money. I think that's how...
That's how... To explain to the youngsters, there used to be this thing called payphones.
Please.
Oh, I'm not going to get into this now.
Please, let's stop. We don't want to go that horrifying.
Every other week, I bring us something mysterious and spooky to talk about. And for today's mini-episode, we're finally gonna get to dive into our trip to the Winchester Mystery House.
It's only, what, 3 months late?
Yeah.
But it was not our fault.
No.
No, we wanted to bring this to you eons ago.
This is the mysterious episode that we tried to record.
Yeah, our sound box doohickey had eaten itself. Along with all of our sound, blah, blah, blah. We disappeared for a month or two while we tried to rectify it.
But now we're back.
Gonna try it again.
Better
do it again. Yes. This was our first going to someplace spooky that was near and dear to our hearts. So we felt that even though it's several months late, we still want to talk about it. We still want to bring you guys the results of our exploration.
Our spooky vacation.
Yeah. A little spooky trip.
And if you don't know what the Winchester Mystery House is, I highly recommend you go back in time in our podcast and look at...
Are you checking your notes? Is that what that face yes. is for?
Look at the Winchester Mystery House episode number 21.
Because really, you're not going to know what the hell we're talking about otherwise. For this, we're kind of going to give you an overview of our adventure into the Mystery House and what it was like. And then some of our favorite points. I think that'll be a good way to kind of bring you along.
Good format.
Without retelling the entire adventure. We're going to hit the highlights, some of our favorite things, kind of give you a taste of what it was like.
A little nibble.
For our little mini moment.
So, what the heck did we do while we were there?
We went on two whole tours. And then spent
like a million years... In every other part.
Yeah, we went on the tours, and then we also spent a bunch of time wandering around the grounds. There was a cafe, laser shooting range, a really cool gift shop, and there was that antique gun museum.
Oh, yeah.
On the grounds. Along with the gardens and,
gorgeous.
Outbuildings that you can peek into, and a lot of things to spend some more time busying around on the grounds when you're not on tour.
I thought that the tours themselves were a little bit cheesy, like sort of in this Disneyland attraction sort of way, like the really dressed up professional entertainment sort of style. But I ended up really liking it because everyone was like in period costume and they were really into their roles. And I thought it actually like they did a good job of really trying to bring that Winchester House vibe to life.
Oh, yeah. I expected it to be cheesier, actually, and it ended up being more legit than I had been expecting.
Yay.
So it kind of met in the middle. I thought it was a nice mix of both. Mm-hmm. I was entertained. I didn't get bored, which was nice.
Yeah. So we'll give you a little bit about what both of the tours were like. The first tour was like your normal starter comprehensive tour.
It's the one that they expect everybody to take first before... You know, you maybe take the second tour. And so it runs you through 100 rooms of the house. 100 rooms in like an hour.
Can we underline that? Like 100.
100 rooms in about an hour. And it really actually highlighted more than anything else the creativity in the house and how beautiful it is. Because all of the rooms are finished and... It's not the original furniture, because the original furniture was all gutted and sold.
Oh, yes. Long time ago.
But it's all period furniture, like, from the time, and it's just restored and gorgeous and impressive and mind-boggling, and so they just run you through 100 rooms of the house to get the comprehensive idea of the whole thing.
And boy, there was a lot. It was incredible. Do you want to talk about the lighting situation?
Yeah, I was going into this thinking, okay, we're going to go visit in the middle of summer.
Oh my God.
It's an ancient house.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to, yeah, it's, because I used to live in, you know, 100-plus-year-old houses. Like, they're stuffy, they're, you know, temperature control is bad, the lighting is bad, and so I was expecting it to be musty and dark and interesting, but you kind of have to, like, look for your own things to make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we were pretty much blown away. Like, it was gorgeous. There was light and air moving everywhere.
Everywhere.
I know they had fans set up, but, like, still, like, there were windows open to the outside with light and air coming in, and shafts open through multiple floors to let a light and air through everywhere.
It was so nice. It was like walking through, like, a greenhouse or a sunroom all the time.
Like a very...
But without any of the bad parts about greenhouses or sunrooms, like stuffiness or overheating.
Yeah, like, the temperature was great. It was the middle of... It was the end of June in California, and it was felt wonderful.
Yeah, and the inside of the house was also a lot cheerier than I was expecting.
Yeah, like, all the colors...
Oranges, yellows.
A lot of yellows. It was a very bright, lively, peaceful, impressive, gorgeous house.
Yeah.
And so that was very much the tone of the first tour, was just going, wow, it's beautiful in here. Hard to comprehend, but beautiful.
Absolutely. But don't worry, if you were hoping that it was still a crazy layout that makes no sense. It is. I was walking around.
It's impossible.
We walked around with a guided tour, and there were a couple of points where the rest of the group turned the corner, and I didn't see them, and I was worried that I was going to be lost in the Winchester House forever.
Oh my God.
I had to hurry to catch up. Like, oh, I hope I find them again, because otherwise I'm never getting out of here.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, sunny, cheery, incomprehensible maze.
So many doors, so many windows, so many passages looking at other passages, looking at windows, looking at railings, looking at passages. It was amazing.
There was one hallway where those of us at the back of the group suddenly started a game of count the doors.
There's a door. There's a door. Up there's a door. That's like half a door. There's a door.
Look, look, you can see the little lock. So that panel that looks like the wall, that's
a door.
That's also a door.
It was incredible.
Look through that window. There's four more doors. Oh, look, there's a door up there.
Look under your chair. Everyone gets a free door. And then there was the second tour, which is called the Explore More Tour.
Yeah.
It's their newest tour. They recently reopened it?
Rediscovered it? Something. Yeah, it's like, we discovered more rooms, opened a bunch of rooms to the public that have never been opened before.
Made them safe for humans to walk through.
Yeah. And so you kind of go on the first tour, and then if you want to step up your Winchester game, you also...
Which we did.
Which we obviously did. You go on the second tour also. And so the first tour was an hour long and exhausting, so we took a break, geared up, and then went on the second tour. So the second tour had a totally different atmosphere than the first one,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. Because the second one was more mysterious. They hyped up the ghost supernatural element a little bit more.
A little bit.
Because most of the rooms that we walked through were either... busted up, like, still busted up from the earthquake.
Yeah.
Because they'd been walled off after the earthquake and just left that way
mm-hmm.
by Mrs. Winchester. Or they were never finished.
Right.
By the time of her death. Some of them were unfinished by the earthquake, and then she bottled them up. But I really, really liked the fact that the first tour, you know, had all of this energy and warmth and everything. But they were all parts of the house that people had been walking through for decades.
It was a well-traveled tour.
Yeah. You know, which was great. But the cool thing about the second tour is it feels it feels older.
Yeah.
It feels way more connected to history and old stuff because it is. Like, nobody's been walking through here at all until they started this most recent tour.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you can feel it.
It does feel like, as you go through that second tour, like, you're the only people that have seen this in decades. That's not technically true, but the ambiance is there.
Yeah, and you're at least a much smaller number that has gone through the rest of the house.
Yeah, so it's just you and, like, the hardcore fans.
Yeah, and it's the part of the house that feels like if there's anywhere that's gonna still have something hanging around, it's gonna be in those old parts of the house.
Definitely.
And then after the tours, we took notes and spent a bunch of time in the gardens. They're gorgeous. All of the outbuildings are cool to look through. They're going to start opening those up to the public, too, like, to be able to walk through at some point.
I love the statues. I'm a big fan of the garden statues.
But yeah, you can see all of our pictures of that on Facebook, including one where we caught the supposed window ghost on camera that they say that visitors can sometimes catch, the quote-unquote window ghost. So check that out if you'd like to see that.
Head to Facebook, Morbid Moment Podcast. Just search for it. You'll find us.
All right. Would you like to quickly hit some of your favorite points? Yes, please. Entertain me. Entertain us with your Styx highlights.
I shall. Of course, I'm very interested in the statistics. Nerd alert. The interior of this house was so expensive. Like, I know I threw a bunch of figures out in the episode describing the absurdly large sums of money that went into this house.
But oh boy.
Then I walked around on the inside. The tour guide was just like, oh, that cost blah, blah, blah. Oh, those were things that only rich people could get. Oh, that cost a day's wages. I'm like, are you...
Oh, she bought up entire bolts of fabric so that no one could ever have that fabric again.
That's fine. Sure. Seeing all the things that, like, rich people do. Like, wow. Crazy. The tour guide told us specifically that she spent an estimated $5,500,000 on her house during her lifetime. And that's in her day's money.
That's in old-timey money.
So I'll let you Google the translation to now money. Just the place was filled with custom windows from, like, Mr. fucking Tiffany himself.
The windows, you guys.
There was that fancy Ling crustal wallpaper that Red just fell in love with.
Okay, so I'm not a decorator interior person.
But you are a paper person.
But I guess I don't know. Okay. I fell in love with two different types of wallpaper.
That's how gorgeous they were. Like, one of them was covered in mica.
One of them was covered in mica.
It glittered.
It was sparkly.
It was beautiful.
There's a sparkle room. And the other is this crazy Lincrusta wallpaper, which is wallpaper that is made kind of sculpturally with linseed oil,
you think?
Like, I don't, it's one of those things that you gotta see at some point. They have a little sample of it that you can actually touch with your dirty human fingers. But, like, I fell in love with wallpaper. I learned about wallpaper and then fell in love with it and had to go home and do research on wallpaper. I don't do that. I research dead things, not wallpaper.
We could also go on for, like, 3 hours about the painting technique, which is much more expensive and involved than I had even known.
Okay.
No.
No, I know.
Okay.
I'll keep it brief.
All right.
But you know how in our episode we talked about how she used redwood but didn't like the look of redwood? Now I understand it's too dark for her bright, cheery atmosphere.
Yep, makes sense.
And how she fucking had it all hand-painted over to look like a different wood?
Yep.
There's one room where you can see it, where they went in and hand-painted with a feather every inch of all of these pieces of furniture and all of the molding and all of the wood in the room to make it look like a totally different wood grain. And I still can't believe it.
It's beautiful.
Like, the tour guide was leaving, and I'm like, please.
Wait, but this looks like real wood.
I need to just look at this for just another hour. Like, let me just be in here.
And then, to finish off the money thing, I know I said that she paid her workers, like, 3 times the going rate, But our tour guide helpfully informed us that some of her servants were paid up to 10 times the going rate, and she let them live on her grounds in houses that she built for them and gave them free food and let their families live there.
Underline the last part. Like, I knew that her servants lived on the grounds, but it didn't quite sink in that it was them and their whole families.
Like, if they could work for Mrs. Winchester, they were set.
Yeah, like, they had their own elevator. They were paid ridiculously well.
And they could just keep all of that money to do whatever they wanted with.
And their families were there.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
And then, speaking of the cool stuff that Mrs. Winchester did, my other favorite part about this tour was learning more about the cool shit that Mrs. Winchester did.
Oh my god.
She was such an engineer. I didn't know.
We knew a little bit. But you go there, and you're like, oh, I see why talking about this special wash basin wouldn't look impressive on paper, and so isn't in the statistics that you read.
Uh-huh.
But then you show up and you see that she's got this wash basin that she invented, where instead of having a washboard in a tub for washing clothes, it's built in there. She's got a little slot for soap. You can pull the whole
counter?
Yeah, you pull the whole countertop down over the tubs and it turns into a counter.
And it's just this nice, neat row of them all built into the counter along this giant washroom.
And it's beautiful in there. And that's something she invented, she came up with, she did, she ordered. And it's just, there was nothing like it at the time.
Nothing. And then, you know, people like to say, oh, she was crazy and just added randomly onto her house. No, she was thinking about fires. She was mm-hmm. thinking about how to get around and connect everything up.
The airflow, the light.
She had all these fire stations set up, like, just in case one wing caught on fire, they didn't have to drag the hose from the other side of the grounds. They had access to water right there. It was so good. And then, Red, talk about that nursery room.
Oh, so she has a lot of gardens, a lot of nursery.
Very plant loving.
Nursery rooms, yeah. And they showed this one area where they brought up the fact that the floor felt a little loose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you could pick up the wood panel floors and underneath is a zinc grate. Zinc so it doesn't rust.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the nursery rooms. And so they could water the plants on this second floor room. And the water could run into the floor, through the grate, through the system of pipes, down to the next floors, and be used again.
And the floor was slanted just a tiny bit.
Yep.
So that the water would go straight in the right direction.
Yep. And it was like, you could have
genius.
These working plumbing contraptions in her house to where all of this water gets recycled and used elsewhere. And
like, fuck, we don't build things that well now.
Now, yeah. Especially in California, where they need to conserve their water. It's just smart.
And then last but not least, I got to see my Otis elevator. It was terrifying, actually, because old elevators are really scary. And not gonna lie.
And I'm a huge fan of elevators, so I loved it.
Sarcasm. I'm detecting a little. Well, Red, how about you tell me about some of the stuff that you liked, or what were your experiences?
I did take notes on my favorite points, and if yours are all statistic based, mine's all spooky.
Makes sense.
So I guess that really, you
know, describes both of us.
Yeah, that really kind of just puts our personalities out there. So I loved all the different elements of the house, but of course I'm gonna gravitate towards the spooky things.
You gotta.
And the first thing that we ran into was the seance room, which, you know, that's kind of the spooky focal point on the first tour. It's like, ah, yes, now we're in the spooky room.
Where the ghosts are.
Yeah, and it was funny because, like, they really drove home that this was the spooky room.
Really kind of hammed it up a little
bit. Yeah, there was, like, a blue light in there to kind of
give it
some atmosphere, and there was a little bit of spooky sound effects playing. And they described how this was the supposed seance room because it was the room that Mrs. Winchester didn't let anyone else in, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of really cool things about this room. We won't spoil the tour for you mm-hmm. with that, but, you know, I walk into it like, oh, that's cute. They have the little spooky light going, and no one really knows.
It's a seance room.
Yeah, but there was something about this room that I kind of hit like a wall,
mm.
And I couldn't really figure out. I immediately thought that there was a smoke machine going or something because of the big weight change in the air.
Like,
you
in
know?
Your lungs?
Yeah, it was like in my lungs. Like, I walked in, I'm like, ooh, it's a little thick in here.
Don't breathe this in.
Yeah, but it wasn't that the room was stuffy or anything, because, again, like most of the rooms in the house, it was open to the outside. Mm-hmm. Even though it's the dead center of the mansion, it's still somehow open to daylight, and there was air moving in there, but there was just something heavy about this room that made it hard to breathe, is the only way I could explain it.
Sure.
And, you know, it took me a second to go, oh, there cannot be, and there isn't, a smoke machine in this room. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's a trick of the fans or something, but it was just kind of weird enough that, like, it was definitely happening. I don't know what it was.
The funny thing is, when I went into that room, I was like, wow, it's cold in here.
Yeah, which I don't remember it being cold.
Yeah. Of course, my first thought was a sarcastic, like, oh, I bet it's a ghost, followed by me trying to figure out where the fans were. But I can't remember if there were fans in that room.
There was a fan, because I remember looking at it like, are you the cause of why I'm weird right now? But it was just an oscillating fan. It wasn't any more fan than the rest of the fans that were in all of the other rooms.
I didn't have any, like, heavy or menacing feelings. I just thought it was cold in there.
Yeah, and it didn't feel menacing. It just felt thick.
It could have been because there was a blue light there, and maybe my brain was like, oh, blue means cold.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, so it was one of those things where, like, we don't know what caused it. It was just a notable thing.
We did have an experience.
Whether it was supernatural or not, your mileage may vary. But I did like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is funny. It's spooky. Oh, it's kind of spooky. Oh, it's like in my lungs.
Oh, too much spooky.
Yeah. So that was the only spooky part of the first tour. The first tour was very light, very, you know, public friendly.
Kid friendly.
Yeah. The second tour was much more prevalently spooky.
Yes.
Just by the atmosphere, but there was a couple points that went way beyond the normal, just like, ooh, it's kind of spooky in here thing. Namely, there was a chain of points in some of the unfinished, vaguely earthquake-damaged rooms where something about them was, like, distracting me.
Yeah, you got real spacey for a little bit there.
And I don't know how to really explain it, but, you know, the tour guide is talking about all these different things that they're speculating that this one room was going to be if it was ever finished.
Maybe it was a bedroom.
Yeah,
maybe
it was
it was a ballroom.
It was it was one of the bedrooms. And they were like, I'm pretty sure this was gonna be a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
This was gonna be one of the other rooms. But it was hard for me to focus on what the lady was saying because there was this one part over by one of the walls that I don't know why, but my attention just, like, could not leave it. And only after I noticed that my attention was hooking on it did I notice that there was actually something different about that spot where the frame that makes up the wall was kind of interrupted, like it was planning on going around something, or there was a pipe there, and there was kind of a dark mark on the floor. It reminded me of, like, creosote staining, which you only know if you've ever had a wood stove.
I have no idea what that is.
There was just a dark stain on the floor, and the wood there, like, the wall there was built differently, so I don't know what they were planning on building there or why it looked different, but for some reason that spot was just bothering me. And I wrangled my attention back, and then we went into the next room, and I again was super distracted because, for one thing, when you can see through the walls that are unfinished into, like, the hallways and rooms and stuff that she's planning on building, it goes from, oh, it all makes sense, and the light comes in here, and everything's lit up, to just dark and incomprehensible. Like, I walked in there, and it was chaos to my brain. It was all unfinished walls, beams everywhere, all different levels of floor.
Yeah, the first tour was confusing because it was hard to remember where you've been and where you're going, but the second tour was confusing because you looked around and you were like, I don't even know if this is one room or three rooms.
Yeah.
I've lost control of what space and time is.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, all right, I know Sarah knew what was going on in here, but I cannot figure it out.
Sorry, Mrs. Winchester, you've lost us.
But there was one point where we stepped up onto this slightly higher floor. It was as up by do. 3 feet. You step up onto this area, and I again just felt like dizzyingly distracted by this spot. And I could not tell you what the tour guide was saying at that point. I was an avid audience until right then, and Stick kept having to, like, pull me along or remind me of what's going on.
Poke
or like
you and make sure you're okay.
Yeah, because
like,
I got real
going
quiet
into
and weird.
A fugue state? Should I? Are you possessed? Should I help you?
Yeah, it was just weird. And I remembered that there was another part lower downstairs where I felt kind of weird. But then when we were now here, she was saying that we were on a slightly elevated floor because we were over an unfinished ballroom. And I went, oh, that's that place that I felt a little bit weird before. And
oh,
I kept looking
no.
up. And now that I was up here, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, it's all coming together.
And so I don't know what to say about it aside from the fact that it was weird and it was like distractingly present in my brain. I don't know how else to articulate it. But
I'm not saying that it was ghosts. But if we find out, like, a decade from now, there's a big reveal in the news that, like, some kid was murdered in that corner where you saw the stain, I am gonna lose my fucking mind. I will start screaming in the middle of our apartment 10 years
yeah,
later. Just be
yeah.
like, I wasn't... Ah!
Or, like, that Miss Winchester just had a meltdown there, like, over the ballroom. Like...
And those are her tears staining the wood forever.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was cool. It just kind of felt like a thing. I don't know if it was a thing, but it
yeah.
was at least enough that I took note of it. And then my final point that I must mention.
We saved the best for last.
I don't know if it's the best, but
it
was at least the most like spooky story fitting.
Oh, that's why I love it.
On the second tour, you get to go in the basement.
The basement.
One of several.
It was very scary.
Well, okay. Basements are scary.
Basements are scary.
Compared to other basements, this one was not that bad.
That's
ceiling is a little bit low,
true.
But it was just like the house and where it was laid out very logically. Everything had a nice sense of order to it.
The hallways were very long.
Mm-hmm. Didn't feel super sinister, aside from, I mean, you look at a giant, hideous boiler... And it's a little terrifying just because you're like, oh, that's in every horror movie.
I guess, to be fair, I might have been more scared of the basement overall than you were.
Yeah, it's, well...
Basements creep me out.
To be honest, the basement in the 120-year-old house that I used to live in was scarier.
Yeah.
That was a murder basement. This was not a murder basement.
This was a
mansion basement.
Yes.
But there is one hallway that I'm... pretty sure goes nowhere. They did a really good job of lighting it in the spookiest manner possible, including the flickering horror light.
Those.
I'm like, you guys did that on purpose. Don't even try.
Mad geniuses.
Yeah, but this is the wheelbarrow ghost hallway. And they say that down this hallway is where people frequently see the accepted to be benevolent or at least just neutral
yep.
wheelbarrow ghost.
The story is that I think he's a guy that used to work on the house, and you can, like, see him in photographs and pictures and stuff. And
yeah,
he just,
like that.
Died and now haunts the basement.
He's just still working.
He's just still working. He's cool.
I think they say that they see him elsewhere, but this is the most popular place to see him. Just mm-hmm. pushing a wheelbarrow in the basement down here.
Because that's where wheelbarrows go.
But boy, they lit this long, dark hallway that you just peer down with a flickering light. And you can't see the end of it. And I'm like, damn, no, that's... I have to applaud you. Very spooky.
Very atmosphere.
Good job.
Much scary.
But I, after looking at it for a while, when the group started to move on, I noticed that Toki was starting to get fidgety.
Uh-huh.
And his fidgetiness, I think, got a little contagious because I looked down there and all of a sudden I just had that overwhelming, oh, there's something down there and it's going to head this way kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm being watched, like that feeling.
Like,
and,
you know, in movies or in dreams sometimes where you look down a long corridor and the corridor kind of goes like towards you.
It was that feeling. Like, you're like, oh, this is creepy. Okay, now it's really creepy.
Oh, now we should actually go. We should go.
We were hanging back while the group was moving ahead.
Because we're like, spooky kids.
Just trying to get the last looks down the spooky hallway. And it went from, like, trying to hang back to, like, okay, time to go.
Where's the rest of our group? All right, bye.
Yeah, and so, like, again, I don't know if that was anything, but it was just, like, a good... I was sufficiently spooked.
It was good.
I let myself be spooked, and it was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nice. I think those were my three favorite points.
That was good.
Loved it. Okay, should we give sort of a final judgment?
Yes.
Summary of our opinions of our visit to the house?
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 5... ghosts. How would
we're gonna have to work on this scale.
Okay. But I do think this was definitely worth our visit.
Yeah. I had expectations. They were met.
Yes.
And then in a lot of categories, pleasantly exceeded.
Yes.
I was expecting it to be much more drab.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting it to sort of be a like, oh, I came, I saw. All right, I can check it off the list. I was not expecting wanting to hang around as long as possible. And then as soon as we like got in the cab to go back to our hotel, we wanted to go back.
We're like, why aren't we just living there?
I want to go back for a spooky Halloween tour.
I want to
do a candlelight tour. I want to go back and visit. Like,
yeah.
I actually want to spend money at some point to go back, which I had not expected. I'm kind of a one and done, generally.
I had the fear that this would not be worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little worried that, you know, we paid money for both of these tours, and it was going to be a couple of hours. Then we were going to be like, well, we saw a house, and they really pushed this ghost thing, and it was kind of lame,
mm-hmm.
but and then we'd go home and eat ice cream or whatever we do. But we stayed there, like, the whole day,
yeah.
And not because the tours were long.
Yeah.
We just did everything we could to, like, keep being there.
Yep. I really liked it.
It was a lot of fun.
I will say that I don't think it's generally a place that kids are going to super enjoy unless you have really nerdy kids.
Really nerdy kids.
There were a couple kids on the tour.
A couple of them were, like, interested, and a couple of them had wandering attention and clearly wanted to be doing something more interesting.
I don't think it's interactive enough for a lot of kids, or at least, you know, kids younger than teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely have to be interested in at least history, if
yeah.
not history and architecture.
Mm-hmm.
If you do like history, and if you like architecture at all, I think you'll love it.
It's great!
Yeah, so as long as you have those interests and not just the spooky legends about the house,
mm-hmm.
I think you'd really like it.
I completely
whoever
agree.
You are.
Definitely.
It was a good, nerdy history, architecture love note to those topics.
You know what wasn't a love note to those topics? The Winchester movie.
Hang on, we gotta explain this.
So afterwards, because we were like, God, that was so much fun, I wish we were there. Well, we're on vacation, how about we get drunk and watch the Winchester movie that came out?
Yeah, we wanted to continue our Winchester experience, and we were like, hey, we got an internet connection and hours to kill at our hotel room.
Well, it was a good bad movie.
Yeah.
Good bad.
I don't think I would have liked it as much if I hadn't just been to the house.
Oh, yes.
But going to the house and then directly contrasting it with the movie was pretty great.
It was really fun to look at the movie and be like, oh, we were just there. Oh, that's the statues I talked about. Oh, that's the window.
Oh, that's totally inaccurate.
Oh, they made that up.
We'll save the review maybe for some distant mini episode.
That would be fun.
But the short version is, if you want a movie that's like halfway genuinely enjoyable and the rest, like, you just want to like yell at the screen for being dumb after being decently enjoyable,
this is your movie.
That's a really good movie. Especially if you've just been to the house. So that, finally, was our trip.
Oh, thank God.
And if we haven't put the pictures up yet, they will be up very soon on Facebook.
Perfect.
So check those out if you want to see us being dorks on vacation in a cool house. I mean,
absolutely.
We couldn't take pictures of the interior. because you're not allowed to take pictures of the interior, mm-hmm. but we took a ton of pictures of the outside, took a picture of the front door, took a picture of the supposed window ghosts.
Come check it out. And then if you liked hearing about our trip in general
and want us to go on more trips, encourage us with
a review and rating on iTunes. We also super appreciate y'all spreading the word about the podcast, either like telling a friend about it or hitting up your Facebook feed, like just being like, Morbid Moment, I loved this episode where they were dorks in a weird house. Word of mouth is the best way to help podcasts grow, so...
those words.
Yeah. And then as Red said, we're going to have pictures up on Facebook, so go ahead and search Morbid Moment Podcast on Facebook to find us. We have...
Join in the fun.
Updates, you can like things, we have pictures.
All that Facebook stuff that we only partially understand.
You can also email us with questions, comments, suggestions you have for episode topics. Just send it to morbidmomentpodcast@gmail.com. Did I get that right?
You did it.
Thank God.
Every time I like stare at you and make sure every one of those words come out of your mouth.
And that'll do it for us.
All right. Mini episode in the bag. Finally.
Yes. My name is Stick. This has been Red.
We'll try to get back in touch with Toki, but I'm not sure what plane of existence he's on.
Yeah, with all that portal hopping, you never know where his molecules are.
Hopefully he's still in one piece.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another full-length episode. But until then, stay morbid.
I said mine way better.
Oh, you did.
Bye.
Bye.